Okay, ask Catherine. A lot of questions. Hi, Catherine. I hope you can play the audio of Donna Brazile from her book signing in New Orleans on the 18th. It's a very interesting talk. Hearing her there and reading her book, I have become a great admirer. She told me that she does not believe that Seth Rich was killed during a robbery attempt. She did not say who she believes is responsible for the murder, but she obviously was deeply affected by it. So here's my response. I listened to the audio and I thank you for sending. I will leave you to admire Donna Brazile. I'm glad she wrote the book. In my opinion, she rose to power like a lot of well-educated African Americans on a sea of affirmative action money and programs while helping or helping provide the air cover for the Clintons and the Democrats to engineer drugs into black communities, private prisons, housing bubbles, more subsidy from government to big corporations and central control. So there's a new class of highly subsidized African Americans who delighted to profit from the genocide of their own people. I have little use for them. I was having dead animals left on my doorstep, trucks running me off the road, people breaking into my house, tapping my phone, and using electromagnetic weapons, trying to stop me from warning people and stopping that corruption and protecting innocent people from being rounded up for and put into private prisons, please read slave labor camps, while trying to create legitimate jobs in those neighborhoods while she was getting rich helping Clinton and Gore engineer all the things I was trying to stop. At some point, you have to stop admiring criminals and start holding public officials accountable for their actual actions. We hate the housing bubble and narcotics trafficking and mind control technology and slave labor camps, but we seem to love the people who engineer them and market them. And I'm absolutely fed up with it. Next question: what is the chance that Uranium One is a Putin sting on Hillary? I think it's highly unlikely. Putin was just doing what, and the Russians were doing what every other leader was doing, was they were engineering, they were using the U.S. corruption to improve their ownership and position and commodities in a variety of different businesses. That's what everyone playing in the pay-for-play network that the Clinton Foundation was running was doing. Dear Catherine, whatever you do, don't repeat, don't waste your time on the Kingsman sequel compared to the previous film. It's an unwatchable, unholy, awful mess, and they go on. I've promised several clients that I would see it, but I haven't yet. It came out for streaming 2 days ago, so I will see it soon, but I'll make sure I'm reading more magazines and newspapers while I'm scanning it. Next question: do you know who got Gaddafi's gold? No. I assume it was split up among the U.S. and the allies that supported the operation, although they could have had a side deal to take care of their liabilities with other people. So, if U.S. owed gold back to the Germans, this could be how they got it. But my guess is the French are mad about the price they paid. It's if you integrate the cost of the immigration and branding problems that they've had as a result of this operation, it's probably the highest price per ounce the French have ever paid for gold. I will say this: the only thing I've ever agreed with Tom Friedman on is that the Libyan invasion uncorked Africa. It really has, and if it hadn't been for that operation, France would not be struggling with the number of immigrants that they're struggling with. One of the greatest humanitarian tragedies I've seen in my lifetime is taking the richest country in Africa and simply destroying it. And that's really what you need to subsidize the unproductive, but unproductive who have powerful weapons. And that's what it looks like. Hi, Catherine. Dr. Laura Presley was a candidate for Austin City Council in Texas in 2014. She currently has a suit against the state of Texas for election fraud. Sophia Smallstrom did a wonderful interview with her a couple of months ago. This election fraud case is a landmark case, which is likely to have national ramifications if Dr. Presley wins. It's currently set to be heard in the Texas Supreme Court, and the Texas Attorney General has filed an amicus brief. The values that Dr. Presley advocates are very much in line with the concepts of the model that small town espouses. Thank you. I am planning to invite Dr. Presley in 2018. Our first slots are open in February, so I'm absolutely planning. It's quite remarkable what she's doing. Catherine, thank you for another fantastic interview with Richard Dolan. Your contrasting approaches to the search for truth makes for a deep and complimentary analysis. I was surprised, though, that you both did not mention the recent massive number of sealed indictments that have been issued and what this possibly meant. We didn't comment because they're under seal. We don't know what's in them. No one else does except the related prosecutors and grand juries. My guess, if I had to guess, my guess is that they're, if you look at sort of who won the election and now that they're swinging the money in, that there are many, many people in the grassroots in sort of the Bush-Clinton drug cartels, including the Mexican drug cartels operating in this country that need to be retired. Again, if the financial coup is over and the leadership and personnel you need to engineer the theft is different, you're going to insource a lot of that and bring it back into the country, then those corporations are going to need a safer environment in some of the places you're operating. And so a lot of the sort of messy games that that group was playing need to go. Now, there's a lot of sort of covert gossip about what's in those indictments and why they're happening. And I consider all of that gossip a complete waste of time. It's either hope porn that says, oh, the good guys are coming, the good guys are coming, or fear porn that says, the end is coming, the end is coming. The end is not coming, but your end will come if you don't stop wasting your time on fear porn and hope porn. So one of the people you mentioned was Steele. I would say that Steele is not a particularly good source. You have excellent CIA officers who've retired, who speak out, like Ray McGovern and Kevin Shipp, and NSA employees, Bill Binney, who we've had on the Salieri Report, Tom Drake, Kirk Wiebe. There are lots of excellent people, and I would really stick with the with those people and not spend a lot of time on covert gossip. Hi, Catherine. I hope you're having a blessed Thanksgiving with loved ones. I have a couple of questions, but first I wanted to thank you for sharing Richard Nolan's series on false flags. I've watched the entire series and shared it with a couple of friends. It's extremely well done and presentable to others. Everyone that I've shared it with has received it well and has good things to say about it and Dolan. I look forward to listening to your interview with Dolan when it's released. They then asked me about something called multiple wave oscillators and one product at biocharger.com. I don't know anything about them. I use a Quantron resonance system, which I have used for years. I'm also looking at a new system, I'm planning on getting it as soon as I have time to focus on it, called Pulsed Harmonics, which comes very, very highly recommended. But I don't know the ones you're mentioning. I do think those systems can be very, very helpful. I would say this, if you haven't watched The Truth About Cancer, I would suggest you and your mom might find that very useful. I'm a great believer in trying things. Also, I heard you mention several times now that you believe there's a push to have churches replace their wooden doors with glass or metal. Can you explain this, why this is and why you are against it? Does it have to do with EMFs or it's more a spiritual thing? I think the technology makes it much easier to both listen in on what's going on inside the church, but also introduce entrainment and mind control. So I would do everything in the building of a church to try and protect against that technology. If you drive around and look at the big corporate headquarters for sort of the big defense contractors, what you can see is it's clear they're building their buildings to try and keep all that stuff out. Next question. Michael Sala was conspicuously absent at the Secret Space Conference. Is he persona non grata? I would recommend you see Richard Dolan's letter written this summer called On Corey, Andrew and the Whistleblowers. It's basically discussing the problem of disinformation and the nature of Corey Good's. Corey Good, there's a lot of momentum going to seriously study the secret space program. The whole momentum got blown out of the water by what I consider to be a serious disinformation effort that turned the whole thing into entertainment as opposed to serious research. Michael Sala does some very good research, but in my opinion, he bought into a pig in a poke with Corey Good. Good poured a lot of goo into the UFO space. It's like pouring goo into a Ferrari machinery. Now a guy named Tom DeLay is pouring even more goo now that Good's kind of run is over. Richard's letter, which I strongly recommend you read and which is linked up on the website, is a very fine description about why that is all very destructive. Anyway, I'm assuming Sala was not invited because when the 2015 secret space program came around, he was very much involved with the Corey Good effort. And as Richard very eloquently describes in the letter, he just bought into a whole bunch of stuff that didn't belong in the kind of serious effort that was going on at Secret Space Program 2014 and 2015. And it was amazing in both of those efforts, particularly 2014. We really got a lot of momentum got going, and it was too bad that the sort of the good disinformation came along. Hi, Catherine. Have you seen this? Know of anyone who can corroborate what's being claimed? It's the story of U.S. Marines storming CIA headquarters. I know of no cooperation. I've seen the rumor bounced around, and I posted it under wildcards because I thought it was interesting that it was bouncing around. Interestingly enough, right after it came out, InfoWars put up the remarkable video of the retired fire captain in Northern California explaining why these were not natural fires. And interestingly enough, the next day he put it up, then he took it down, and it's completely wiped out from his website, which I thought was very interesting. I do think there are a lot of struggles between the DOD and the intelligence agencies. And you'll hear more about that if you listen to the two interviews I did with Dolan on the deep state and the U.S. budget. We're trying to run two civilizations out of one budget and trying to pretend that one of the civilizations does not exist, and that's damn near impossible. And I think there's no doubt in my mind the military's power is rising relative to the CIA. You have a very strong Secretary of Defense, and you've got a Marine General who is now running the White House, and I suspect with the full support of all factions at the Bohemian Grove. And if you look at that formula, it says again to me what I've been saying since the election, which is this is a group of people responsible for global military operations, and therefore the existence of the reserve currency, who understand that they need to radically reduce risk and rebuild capacity. It's not an easy job, particularly when you just see what happened in Northern California. Next question. There's a woman named Kate Noble running for mayor of Santa Fe next March. I may want to donate a salary subscription to her if she shows any interest. I still believe New Mexico corruption is a tradition that rules. You and Saker may be interested. I saw a 48-minute presentation of Stephen Gowan's book, Washington's Long War in Syria, that may interest you and Saker. I'll take a look. At the very end, he quoted Norman Bethune's article Wounds, written in 1939. I read it and converted to a PDF attached here. Oh, it's very beautiful. I posted it. It's a Larry Report. The last two sentences read, such men as these must perish if the human race is to continue. There can be no permanent peace in the world while they live. Such an organization of human society as permits them to exist must be abolished. Beautiful. If you've not read my review of Political Ponderology of the book, you might be interested in it. It describes the fact that approximately 5% of the population, their theory is, are basically born psychopaths, and the rest of us, and they're very good at finding each other and organizing to use political mechanisms to control. And again, if you look at what happened in Northern California, they clearly walk among us. This is what I'm getting from you and Saker and a number of his peers this past year. Is this simply history repeating itself, or are we at crossroads? Why is humanity at stake? Humanity is at stake because of AI and robotics and related weaponry. If you didn't see the video I posted called Slaughterbots on autonomous weapons, I think I posted about 2 weeks ago, I strongly recommend it. And then you add to that invisible weaponry that can be used to manipulate weather, steer hurricanes, monsoons, and create tsunamis, or a combination of GMOs, vaccines, and nanobots and nanoparticles in the global spraying that is literally re-engineering our DNA. So we're seeing a form of technological innovation which literally could wipe out or permanently alter humanity in a very dangerous way. And if you look at how that weaponry is now being applied by the leadership, it's creating enormous inequality and appears to be creating an infertile population. So I think the future of humanity is very much in question. Catherine, great interview with Harry on gun rights. For superlative firearm training, I strongly recommend Aegis Academy in Southern California. The instructors are seasoned Navy SEALs, Marines. I thank you for that tip. I need more training. As I said, I'm going to start carrying regularly, particularly around Tennessee. And so I'm also looking to get a separate gun for carrying. So I've gotten some good advice from several subscribers, and I thank you. Two Google-related questions. Besides DuckDuckGo, in place of Google search engine, what are your thoughts on Firefox? Firefox is my main browser. As far as I know, they don't have a search engine. They link into a variety of different search engines. I use DuckGo. Sometimes I'll use Bing. Very occasionally, a couple times a day max, I'll have a search that really needs to dig down, and I will go back to Google because I do think it performs the best. But DuckDuckGo is my main one. I will also use this browser, Safari and Brave. I'm still trying to test Brave, which is being led by the guy who I believe led Firefox. What do you recommend to replace Gmail? I would check out StartMail and ProtonMail. I use StartMail as well as the Solarium Mail server with Thunderbird software. And then you continue, got to get away from Google. Catherine, next question. Wonderful article filled my soul on the loss of traditional agriculture and what it means to be an environmentalist, a conservative perspective. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a grateful blessing as a subscriber. Thanks, and thanks everyone for all your good links. We're getting a lot of great ones posted at subscriber input. Catherine, happy Thanksgiving. I'm forwarding this to you because the subject is concerning, to say the least. I also follow Martin Armstrong, and as models are showing, we are heading into a mini ice age, which appears to say food shortages should be front and center. How will this affect markets, and what is your opinion of how we survive the cycle? You're an amazing person. I thank God I found you. I don't know if it's true or not. So much weather manipulation is going on that it's very hard to say where this is going to go. Clearly, the leadership is going underground in a major way for some reason. If you haven't read a post that I wrote called "This Does Not Change Everything," it's a review of Naomi Klein's book, "This Does Change Everything." I would strongly recommend that for my views on this point. I do think food has been front and center globally. A lot of the riots we've seen around the world were actually food riots, although the media doesn't communicate them. If you look at the 2016 annual wrap-up we published in January, it was on the global harvest and food, and that's because I think food will be front and center. There's pressure on the dollar, which means food prices are going to rise. There's more automation, which means falling income, and the combination is a real squeeze on the average consumer by food costs. And I think food availability, particularly high quality food, will be front and center in the developed world as well. So I agree with you that food is going to become more and more important. So if you haven't read Global Harvest, I would strongly recommend it. And then you sent something from Geoengineering Alert. Thank you for that. Then I got a very long email about gang stalking. It's in the notes, and I'm not going to read the whole thing here. But one of the things they said was, I'm new to the whole targeted individual scene. This is individuals targeted by electronic harassment and abuse, and even electronic torture. I'm new to the whole targeted individual scene and I'm still trying to come up to speed on what can help. If it weren't for the Slayer website, I would be totally in the dark about the whole targeting phenomenon and the extent of what's possible with mind control. But because I had seen articles about it at Slayery, I realized what was happening and was able to act sooner rather than later to protect myself. That's very good news. I think it's important that we all understand this stuff exists and, you know, that there are ways to understand and deal with it if it happens to you. They end by saying, I really hope someone like Melissa and Aaron Dykes can delve deep into this area of hive mind so that we can learn how to protect ourselves from it. I think their work is so tremendous, and I think ultimately that's where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to helping us figure out how to protect ourselves. So the more we talk about this, the better. Next question. I just listened to Control 101. Control 101 was the theme of the third quarter wrap-up. When will we get a Solari report or book on growing up in a rough neighborhood, which was clearly preparation for what was to come, and get the details of how you and God teamed up to fight the evil of the litigation? We understand if you're reluctant to reveal such intimate details, but they are an essential part of the message you appear to have been born to deliver. You're the only public person who's making the connection between the material and the divine in quite this way, and the story needs to be told. I've made several efforts to tell it. We have two Solari reports on spiritual warfare and one called The Power of It with John Rappaport, where I tell pieces, and I've written some commentaries. So I kind of feel like I've told it, but I will think about the best way to do that. I certainly tried to do a great deal of it in Control 101, and so that's a good step forward, and I'll think more about it. Dear Catherine, I was catching up on the Solari reports. Just listen to the third quarter. Wait a minute. Third quarter wrap-up part one. I was surprised what I thought were your positive comments on Schauble. That's the German finance minister who just left to be president of the Bundestag. And wonder if you read the article in The Guardian back in 2015. Do you think it's historically incorrect? The picture I get of him from it is a man to be feared, not respected. There are others who have written quite favorably of him, but his push for privatization of Greek assets seems to coincide with the historical information on him in The Guardian article. Do I misinterpret your comments? I would strongly recommend that you read my review of the Greek finance minister's Adult in the Room, and then I would recommend that you read the book. And it gives a very interesting picture of Schauble. He's certainly been someone who is the nuts and bolts person sitting, you know, between a corporate infrastructure that wants centralization and trying to deal with sort of the invasion and conquering of Southern Europe. But he's an exceptionally smart man and someone who's struggling to be an impossible situation. And this gets back to the problem, if you're the finance guy, of how you deal with the fact that we are financing two civilizations out of one budget and everything's supposed to be secret. And if you look at the situation he's struggling with, once in a while, he'll pop out with some of the most insightful comments I've ever heard. I keep quoting his comment in Beijing and in I think it was January or February of 2016 when he said the debt growth model is over. There are no reforms now that are not real reforms. One of the most intelligent comments on what was going on globally, and I think very few people picked up on it, but I've maybe quoted it 1,000 times since then. I thought it was brilliant, insightful. He's clearly, in terms of nuts and bolts, a highly competent and capable individual, and who's been in a very difficult position for a long, long time. So, you know, do I approve of sort of the austerity program that's been visited on Southern Europe? No. But I also think Schauble is a very intelligent person who at the end showed his humanity, and is probably why Merkel booted him out. It wouldn't surprise me if the book Adults in the Room cost him his job.